In this conversation, I speak to Lisa Bowman, who's the chairperson of Agricultural Writers SA. She has a long-standing career in journalism, as well as media relations, and she unpacks the role that agri-writers has in the agri-industry. And they definitely bring us all the scoop around journalism, politics, writing about farmers, writing about the industry, the macro and microeconomic factors that impact positively or negatively the agri sector. And she also mentions, you know, what they do in terms of celebrating not only farmers, but media personnel, as well as industry professionals with the annual awards that they host within their association. So if you're looking to pursue a career in writing and journalism, but also gain more experience, connect with like-minded individuals, I definitely think being part of the Agri Writers will obviously propel your career. And she shares some success stories that have birthed the credibility of various journalists that we see today in the agri industry. So reach out to Agri Writers SA, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
My name is Mbali Noko, and welcome to the Mbali Noko podcast. I'm a farmer, and I created this podcast to discuss all things agriculture. I will be interviewing and having in-depth conversations with industry experts such as farmers, scientists, agronomists, agri-tech specialists, to policymakers and investors. Basically, anyone you can think of in agriculture and across its value chain. So let's dive right into today's episode.
Lisa, thank you so much for coming onto my podcast. Sure, I'm super excited because every time I bump into you in the agri circles, you know, we obviously have so much fun chatting about the industry and the things we do. But you know, it just never occurred to me earlier that damn, I need to have Lisa on the show on the podcast because. You do so much, you know, you do so much. And I'm also yet to learn about the other things that you do in the industry. But obviously, the focus today is on Agri Writers. And I think it's an organization that we hardly talk about in the agri circles, its existence and what contribution it's making towards the sector. And I think it's because the spotlight is always on farmers, the industry, the economists, you know. So maybe as a friend of the podcast, please introduce yourself, what you do. And I think just your contribution towards the industry in the whole.
Yeah, Mbali, awesome. I'm so happy to be here. And exactly, why haven't we hooked up earlier? This is what I want to know.
because
you know, one of the strong points of an organization like Agri Writers, which I will unpack just now, is really the networks and friendships you build in the industry. And I believe we actually met for the first time at the Agri Writers event.
Yes, true. Very true.
Yeah, and so for those of you who don't know, Mbali, at that specific event I'm referring to, was the recipient of New Entry to Commercial Farming. And, you know, you have just grown in strides, and it's so wonderful to watch your career bloom, and you're just going from strength to strength. So, you know, it's such a pleasure to know you, and it's such a pleasure to know that we could recognize you in those early phases of your agri career, at least. Mm. So Bali, you know, people might hear the name Agri Writers and wonder, you know, is this for people who write books or textbooks or any kind of only publication on paper about agriculture? And no, we represent, or our organization represents, everybody in the agricultural media space. And this includes journalists, it includes communications people. So if you're in the media sector in any shape or form in agriculture, you have a home at Agricultural Writers. And it includes people like yourself who are using electronic media to communicate news and views about agriculture. So when we started, those were still the olden days when we only did things on paper and with ink, and hence the name Agri Writers. So through the years, we didn't change it because just the name just stuck, and everybody sort of in the industry at least, knows that it includes all forms of media. So if you're a radio journalist and you have maybe a program that focuses on agriculture, or like yourself with a podcast, television programs that we are seeing more and more of in the past 5-6 years, which is wonderful. All of those people have a home at Agricultural Writers. So that's really the name. But as you know, it also includes a few other fun things.
Yeah, so maybe tell us about those fun things. We want to know about the fun things.
Yeah, so I've mentioned the networking opportunities. And really for anybody to learn more about agriculture, you basically have 2 or 3 options. One, you can go and do it yourself and learn the trade by doing. But that leaves very little time to be a journalist or a media person. You can go and study agriculture, but then you probably want to follow an actual career in agriculture. And then lastly, you can be a journalist who might by design or by accident end up being an agricultural journalist or in the media sector. And then you need to learn more about agriculture. And this is what we really specialize in, is we have these networking opportunities with farmers, industry leaders, and even fellow journalists in the trade to really share that wealth of knowledge and experience. Otherwise, everybody's going to take forever and 10 years and 20 years to learn the trade. And we are really trying to speed up that process also through farm visits, visits to different kind of industry, whether it be a mill or a production plant or any of the mechanization companies. So we have these friends in agriculture or partners, or sometimes, you know, proper sponsors outright, who will pay for this privilege for our group of journalists and media people to go and visit and learn right there on the ground what it is all about. Yeah. And for me, the best part is when we actually go and visit a farm and see what challenges farmers have, what solutions they come up with. It's so necessary to also talk about success stories.
Yeah.
Because we all need a bit of inspiration, right?
Yeah, true. True. So how do we support the agri sector as journalists? You know, I know the Agri Writers Association is full of journalists, experienced ones at that. So, you know, how does journalism support the agri sector in this case?
Yes. So, first of all, we do have a lot of experienced people that's part of the Agri Writers, but we're also trying to get new blood in. And I know it's an industry that might seem very niche, but at the end of the day, all of us need to eat. And I think this is also where we come in as media, I don't want to call us media people the whole time, but really we operate in the media sector. So not everyone will be a journalist per se, but the way we communicate about agriculture will keep on informing the general public and government and other industry role players about what is really going on. Sometimes we have industries that are actually blooming, but somehow nobody really knows about it. If you look at how the macadamia industry has grown from strength to strength, it is quite an amazing story. Yet I think very few South Africans will know that South Africa is the largest macadamia exporter in the world. And, you know, things like that actually puts it into perspective how amazing our farmers and crop producers and livestock farmers are, and just so much to be proud of. One of the other big roles is, there are basically two sides of this coin. One is bringing agriculture to the world or to the general public, telling them where their food comes from, you know, maybe why they aren't a certain type of product currently on the shelf, or why something might be very expensive, or, you know, why it is so good for them, or whatever the message might be. But then there's the other part of our job, and that is to bring the world to agriculture. This is to inform the farmers or people in the agricultural industry, especially the primary industry, about movements in markets, about newsworthy events or changes in policy maybe that might affect their business. So it's really this two-way street where we want to tell the story of agriculture to the consumer or to the general public, but we also want to keep our farmers informed about whatever is happening in the world that may affect or even help their business, and to help them maybe see some opportunities, some solutions, new products, all of those things that will help you as a farmer make better decisions on farm.
Yeah. And how relevant are journalists nowadays if everyone, you know, can share stuff on social media, do their own reporting, expose their farms on social media, etc.? How relevant are journalists nowadays?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy about the advent of social media, because this kind of citizen journalism really opens up much more of real world experiences. The benefit of the organized media or journalism as a career is that it is in actual fact curated, and there are checks and balances. So whereas a personal encounter from somebody and they share it on social media is only that person's opinion and their experience, we as journalists are compelled, not only by our profession, but also by law, to tell the truth, to have those checks and balances in place that we actually give people the right to reply, for instance. Media law is indeed actually quite strict. You can't just take a picture and publish it without the consent of somebody. Whereas in social media, people sort of just flaunt this, although it is also media and should actually be judged by the same kind of publishing laws, it isn't. So the more formal media and trained journalists, we honestly, I can tell you, especially the people I know, we try to give a more balanced view. We try to, in the articles that we write, to stay as close as possible to the truth that is known to us, to give the facts in a way that will help you understand it better, that it is not opinionated, that it is honestly for you to read and absorb in the way that you want to. Yeah. Whereas social media, as you know, can be very one-sided and very subjective. And unfortunately, there is something called confirmation bias, where people will only want to read or see or believe what they are already convinced of. You know, so whatever it might be, the algorithm of the social media networks will sort of just put in your feed what you already previously liked or read. So similar things. And there is a danger in that people will get a more and more skewed view of the world or of opinions because it only speaks to what they already are convinced of. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the media has a great role to play to keep that balance, to keep us all open-minded. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything or have to believe everything. It just gives you guys the option to also see different truths, different ways of thinking, and especially in agriculture, different ways of doing things.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there around differentiating between opinions versus fact, and the validity of the source and the reliability of the source. And so how can one become a member of the AgriWriters SA?
Sure. So mainly we do look at people with some kind of official connection to media. So whether it is in corporate communications, like I am at the moment in my career, or whether it is as a journalist or even a freelancer working for an online publication or radio, television, or even still a print publication. If you're a student of journalism and you have maybe, you know, not really made up your mind where you want your career to go, you might have thought of fashion or motoring journalism. Well, like I say, we all need to eat. So why not think about agricultural journalism? Become a member. Our membership fees are very affordable for what you can actually get and how it can help build your career. And get to know the people in the industry. Becoming a member also has different levels. So you can become an associate member. So this means you are somebody working in the agricultural sector that may from time to time even write an opinion piece or be quoted a lot or work a lot with the media, but you're not an active participant in the media. You don't write press releases, or you don't write articles, or you don't give a commentary on a regular basis. You don't own any media space, but you know, you're sort of there. You hang around with the media. You can become an associate member. You can become a full member if you are any of the above that I just mentioned. If you are involved in the media sector, and you don't have to be an agricultural journalist. You just need to be somebody operating in the media who may from time to time have to report on agricultural related issues, or you have an interest in it. You would like actually to explore that part of your career. You are welcome. We are honestly there to help people better understand the industry. We are there to help journalists, also in the mainstream media, to understand the agricultural sector better. You yourself know, and maybe some of our listeners will know, that the more you know about the industry and the different niches that we have in that, the more intricate it gets. And it's not just, you know, one shoe fits all. Somebody once said, an expert is somebody who knows more and more about less and less. And so that's not a backhanded compliment, but it's really how it works. So you get so involved in a very specific part of the industry that you yourself as a journalist can, to an extent, be seen as an expert on that level. So I worked for quite a number of years for the Milk Producers Organization and their publication, the Dairy Mail. And at the end of my 6-7 year stint there, I could really give you a good lowdown on how to prevent mastitis and what all of that is about. Mm. And that's a very weird niche to have, or a weird set of skills to have in journalism. But this is really what it boils down to. So some of our members will honestly be almost expert level in agricultural machinery, or in crop production, or in animal husbandry, and then going into genetics. So, I mean, it's just wonderful. Best part of our job, we keep on learning new things, we keep on meeting new people, and we constantly have these new experiences. So I just think best job in the world.
Yeah. Oh, this is quite refreshing to learn about, you know, the why one would become a member and what they could be getting here. So maybe if you could tell us also, what are the benefits of being a member? You know, there's a lot of associations out there. There's membership fees, people pay membership fees. You know, what is communicated versus what is experienced is slightly different. And I think you've alluded to some of them to say, you know, you become friends of the industry, you learn a lot, you grow as an individual, you become exposed to certain niches, you know, exposed to certain topics, concepts, environments around farms. But what are the other benefits? You know, can it grow someone's career around writing and journalism? What platforms maybe certain members of the agri writers have they been exposed to? So maybe just break down what are some of the benefits of being part of Agri Writers SA.
Oh, absolutely. I am happy to do so. So definitely, first of all, what I've already alluded to quite a lot is our networking opportunity. And as most people in any kind of profession realizes somewhere along their life, it's not only about what you know. It is also the contacts you make in your specific industry or the sphere you operate in. So it is also a little bit about who you know. If we just look at it from a very basic journalistic perspective, in the old times, we all had a little black book with our number of contacts, and that was like your holy grail, and you never shared it with anybody. Mm. And through these networking, you can get your sources in the industry. You can make your articles, if we just talk about pure journalism, more interesting, because you might have a very cool contact in the industry that nobody else ever quotes. So you will also realize that there are sometimes like this flavor of the month. There's this go-to person that you will talk to if we talk about water issues, or there's a go-to person if you want to talk about grain markets. And that's all good and fine. But it's so much more exciting if we have a bigger pool of knowledge to tap from and to share with our audiences on whatever platform it is. And I think this is what you do as well. You talk to different people in the industry, and it's not always the same, and not to diss them and to say, oh, they're not worth anything. They are worth anything. But people are people, and they like to be interested in whoever they share knowledge with. And they like to hear from new voices or a different side of the story. Mm-hmm. And this is where our networking is so strong. Building careers, getting new knowledge of the industry, that we've covered. On a career point of view, yes, there might actually be some opportunities that come along the way because of the contacts you made in the industry. You might be working with some clients in the industry through your publication or through the media platform you work with, and there might be a job opportunity that comes through, or you might actually recognize an opportunity and create it for yourself. So we have definitely a few very successful freelancers that are part of the agricultural writers. And, you know, these kind of contacts that you build up over the years, and it's definitely not an overnight thing, eventually they become very good business contacts as well, and in some cases even friends. So it is really more than just a very cold-hearted, okay, where's my next promotion going to come from? Mm-hmm. It's honestly about building a very solid foundation for a career, if you want to pursue it, of course. It gives a very solid foundation for you as a journalist to have a very broad network of sources to tap into and to sometimes even just ask for advice. You might pick up the phone and say, listen, Bali, I need to do a story on X, Y, and Z, on peppers. I've spoken to you in the past, but do you know maybe of another farmer I can speak to? And this is how it typically will work in the industry. Other benefits, we do actually have some competitions in the at the Agri Writers on a national level, where we do look at technical writing, for instance. At one stage, we recognized that some of the journalists don't focus enough on explaining difficult technical information in plain enough language that even a beginner could understand it. And so we wanted to encourage that. We got a sponsor, and that was one of our, or has been until now, one of our most successful competitions that we run, and trying to encourage and improve on that skill. We have a photography competition. I just want to mention our photographer of the year for last year, Willem van der Berg. At that stage, he worked for Landbou Weekblad, was just recently, last month, announced as the International Federation of Agricultural Journalists Photographer of the Year. Wow. And this is at what level we operate. And I don't want to like take his prize and make it mine, but I'm so damn proud of him and of what we have delivered. And that's not the only prize that we have won on an international level as agricultural writers and through our members. Guys like Charles van Rooyen, Lindy Buerta, they've been recognized. Deneen Erasmus, she was the previous editor of Farmers Weekly, on an international level for leadership in agricultural journalism, for their writing skills, for photography. So we just, you know, happy to share our talents with the world. We do that gladly.
Yeah, this is amazing. Yes, I've seen Deneen's award, read about that, and also Lindy as well. So it's great to obviously know that through the Agri Writers or being associated with Agri Writers, you know, you get also international recognition for the work and the efforts that you do as a journalist, as a writer, as a communicator, etc. And moving on to events, which you mentioned, you know, what brought about the need to create events and awards to recognize the efforts that these individuals play? So I know there was obviously what you mentioned earlier on in terms of the award that I won a few years back, new entrant into commercial farming. What brought about these various categories in the events, Farm of the Year events, basically? What brought about the need to create events and recognize not only farmers, but journalists and communicators in the industry alike for what they do?
Yeah, Mbali, the Agricultural Writers came about in 1977. So to give you an idea, that was the year I was born in. So it's quite a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the first mandates that group of journalists came up with for the organization was to create an event to recognize a Farmer of the Year. So this award has morphed over the years into different shapes, and we have come to a point where the Farmer of the Year is not the biggest farmer, it's not the richest guy on the planet. It is somebody with a holistic success story, and this is on different levels. It would be, of course, financial. Is this guy financially sound? Is he profitable? Does his farming operation show that it has longevity? Is the Farmer of the Year, and I'll come to how we actually go about to nominate them, is he involved with his community? Does he actually care about those closest to him, which would be the labor force on the farm? How does he contribute to the rural economy? How does he contribute to the greater agricultural sector with regards to his produce or the animal husbandry, or whatever is happening on that farm? How diversified is he? Is he actually sort of bulletproof when it comes to economic upheaval? All of that we look at. And then our members have the opportunity, and it's usually through the stories we do, to say, I have a nominee for whatever province. So it would be maybe a Northwest farmer or a Free State farmer. And they have the opportunity to nominate them and say, basically, if I had to pick a diplomat to represent us on an international forum, I would choose this guy. I'm going to put my money on him. So the nominations come from our members to say, I nominate whoever for Farmer of the Year. And that is then done on a provincial on a regional level. So we are divided into two regions. So I'm getting technical now, but it's the Garib region, which would be North, West, and Eastern Cape. And then the rest will be all the northern provinces for Agricultural Writers North. So we have a regional competition, or not, well, award ceremony, where these nominees are presented. And then it goes to a panel of judges that is made up mainly from previous winners. And they will look at all these different aspects and say, guys, we think this year, this guy, he's a standout. Amongst all the nominees, we think this is the best representative of agriculture and commercial agriculture in South Africa. Mm. Over the years, we have realized, but guys, this is a bit of an unlevel playing field when we look at new entrants to commercial farming. And that is why that category was also created. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly to recognize any farmer, and age does not play a role here, who has had less than 10 years experience in the commercial arena. Mm-hmm. So many farmers can farm for 20 years and still maybe be subsistence or pre-commercial, and agriculture is not their main source of income. And that is wonderful. It contributes to food security. It contributes to rural economies. But it's not necessarily on a scale where it's going to be very easy to judge whether they are head and shoulders above everybody else. However, if we look at the more commercial side of it, but still quite new to the industry, now there we have a certain playing field where we can have people judge, okay, who do we see as a potential winner one day of the commercial Farmer of the Year? So it's quite subjective, I have to be honest there, but it is born out of our members and their experience amongst the good people of the South African agricultural industry, and what kind of impression they made on us. Lastly, we have the Agriculturist of the Year, and that that award has also morphed over the years. We have found that it's quite difficult to, for instance, compare an agricultural economist to a scientific researcher. I mean, how do you compare that apple and pear? or banana in this case, it's quite difficult. So we have divided that into three different subsectors, and we will each year we will rotate. So this year we will be on the lookout for extension officers in the agricultural sector. Then we will have economists, and then we will have, again, researchers. And we're just going to divide that up because it's so difficult to compare them in this kind of award category. So, yeah, that is one of the contributions we make to recognize. It is not a prize. It's not to say you first and foremost, you're the best. It is to recognize people that cross our path that we think are exceptional in what they do. And in that year, amongst the nominees, are the best of the best. So, yeah, quite subjective, but we also think it is cool and kind to recognize people for many, many years of hard work and efforts from teams. And sometimes, you know, it's conglomerates almost. But that was born out of a lot of years of hard work, planning, going forward, overcoming adversity, and finally reaching that success.
Yeah. And, you know, where are we going in the future around journalism, or where agri-journalism is concerned? Do you think in the future agri-journalism will be relevant? And if so, why?
Well, not all people have the same skills. So if I ask maybe my brother, who is an expert in the macroeconomics field, to explain agricultural economics to somebody with no economic background, I want to go out on a limb and say I think I might be more successful in that, because yeah, I've had this experience in explaining sometimes very complex ideas into plain enough language that both the expert and the novice will understand it. Whereas when I want to interview an expert like my brother, he can explain it to me until I understand it so that I can write this. And not everybody has got the time for that. Not everybody has got the skill or the knowledge base to also frame that into position to tell the farmer, this piece of information that I'm sharing with you, it is important because... And that is really at the core of what we do. When we write a story that is specifically for the agricultural audience, we always have to remember, but what does this mean? How will this improve your life? How will this make your choices easier? How will this improve whatever it is you do? You can't just talk into the air. You have to really focus on, I'm taking time from this farmer to read this article or to listen to my podcast or to watch my television program. What I'm giving in return is useful knowledge, interesting things, and maybe sometimes even entertainment that will make his life better. And so, yes, I think definitely there's still a lot for agricultural journalism to do. I don't think it is something that will disappear. As a matter of fact, I think it's something that's even more and more important as we face climatic crisis, as we face... geopolitical upheaval. How do we share that knowledge of what's happening on world markets? How do we share that knowledge of this is maybe new technology you can use to get a better yield? So all of that, I think agricultural journalists are definitely here to stay and to grow the industry.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks so much, Lisa, for coming on. I think, everybody should just start going to agri writers, especially if they're contributing towards the industry from a writing perspective. And I like the fact that you're quite an inclusive organization, an inclusive association, rather, where you recognize economists, you recognize people that are specialists in a specific topic or profession in agri. And I mean, genetics, you mentioned that word and I thought, oh my, you know, I would love to explore the concept or the topic of genetics. So you're quite inclusive in the fact that you're recognizing many industries and professions, many professions in the industry that are obviously educating and informing us there. So yeah, all the best with the awards that you guys are setting up maybe for this year, and to all the nominees.
Oh, absolutely. We will keep you guys posted and maybe we can have a little bit of a check-in before September again. And just a shout out to everyone who's listening who might think they actually need to become a member. Please go to our website, www.agriculturalwriterssa.co.za, and just have a look there and see if this is a place where you would like to be. Also, my email address, if you would like to pop me a mail, I'm Liza, L-I-Z-A, dot Bohlmann, B-O-H-L-M-A-N-N, at gmail.com. Yeah, just pop me a mail and we can start conversations if you think this is an organization you would like to be part of.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Your feedback is always important. Therefore, please rate and review this podcast. You can follow me on social media at Mbali Nwoko on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, as well as YouTube. Should you wish to contact me directly, kindly send me an email at info@mbalinwoko.com. Look out for next week's episode. Until then, take care.